I think one of the most pleasing or appealing aspects of Mobile Fighter G Gundam is that it leans on or borrows from world history, because it is using characters who are representative of nations of all the world. Now, of course, when I say that, there's the caveat that it only really focuses on, you know, maybe 8 nations at the most, and gives them a lot of time to shine, a lot of focus, but the idea is there, the concept is there, and they can pull on certain historical facts and trends and, you know, broad events that people may or may not know of, depending on the audience, to make things happen. It's kind of cute when you do know the history of some of these nations, to see exactly how that plays out in the show and how the characters interact with each other and whatnot. This is MJ, and welcome to King of Hearts, Queen of Sorrows, my platform to talk about one of my favorite anime of all time. Today I'm talking about Mobile Fighter G Gundam episode 43. I've entitled this episode Stay Alive. That's a quote from the episode. It's also another Hamilton reference. And speaking of Hamilton, you know, a part of that story, part of the story of the United States is the war against the British, the war for independence. And it's interesting. I was kind of complaining at the end of last review that I don't know why it's not the British and the French fighting against the American or some other force. But you know what? This is actually very reminiscent of the fact that the Americans and the British, no, the Americans and the French allied themselves with each other during the Revolutionary War, and they did that in order to defeat the British Empire, which was the greatest military power in the world at the time. The British most certainly had the most powerful navy, and you know, because the French and the British had long been enemies, you know, partially because of that and for other reasons that I don't quite know or don't know off the top of my head, the French decided to ally themselves with the Americans in fighting them. And I thought that's pretty cool, because when Chibity and George are talking and hanging out in the midst of fighting the massive, hulking Grand Gundam and Noble Chapman, it reminded me of that, I don't know, that spirit of determination and that underdog thing that Americans seem to like so much, that people who, I don't know that it's actually an American virtue or characteristic that we, you know, as a nation, whatever that is, really value underdog stories, but I think it's a thing in general human nature, and Americans happen to embody it because of things like how we fought the Revolutionary War against the superior foe like the British. And I really like how Grand Gundam, like I said, his massive size and the amount of weapons he has, you know, he's got all these hands and these enormous guns, how he outmatches and outpowers his opponents, you know, Gundam Maxter and Gundam Rose. And I thought the just the way it all looked was very impactful. It was very dramatic. You have things happen like I guess I don't think they state clearly that George runs out of rose bits, but by the end he's basically down to one rose bit, and Chibity is most definitely down to one shot. And we see that they plan on tricking Noble Chapman to coming out and exposing himself to the one shot that, you know, Gundam Maxter has, and he's unable to do it, which was pretty great. He totally whiffs, and the way that scene was constructed, there's all this tension built up. You know, we get to see basically what's going to happen, and then Grand Gundam slowly comes into shooting range, and then I can't remember why at the last moment he misses, but then when Chibity fires, it whiffs, and the way they kind of draw it out so you can see the, you know, the bolt of the blast, you know, grazing, not even hitting, but just like inches away from Grand Gundam's face. It's probably feet, really. Anyway, it was pretty impactful. And then the shot, you know, that comes up next, where George sticks somehow, I guess he has like control over all the rose bits. He sticks a rose bit in the tip of, you know, in the muzzle, I guess, of the Gundam Maxer's gun, and then he's able to fire it off. Just the way that all worked was so cool. You know, George, like, once again, goes a little out of character, and he goes and he lifts up the foot of Grand Gundam. So he's using his brawn as opposed to his brain, really, and there's no finesse in it. He just goes and lifts the guy's foot. And then the shot, like, from Chibity's perspective in Gundam Maxter, where he's aiming the rose bit over, you know, like, he's trying to get, you know, Grand Gundam in his sights, was really cool. You know, and then he fires and they win and whatever. Very impactful stuff, very cool. I love how all of it was framed. They really ratcheted up the drama. And then, of course, on the other side of that, you've got all this great drama with, you know, brain-controlled Allenby coming after Domoon. And, you know, he doesn't want to fight her. He's trying to get her to calm down, to break the spell. He's done it once before, I believe. And he's trying to do that again. Of course, he doesn't, you know, he just lost Saisaishi and Argo. And he tells George and Chibity that he doesn't want to lose them either. And I'm sure he doesn't want to lose Allenby, because I'm not even sure that he has, I mean, he's basically, you know, forgiven Rain for losing Allenby, but I think he still very much, you know, has feelings for Allenby, at least a deep affection and friendship, if not, you know, potentially anything else. And, you know, he's lost a couple friends, and now this other friend who he thought was lost is back, and that's a reason to rejoice. But then, oh wait, no, she's, you know, twisted and evil because she's being brain controlled. Like, that is, you know, some great drama. And then I love the little bit where all the Shuffle Alliance crews, I guess you could say, are trying to infiltrate the island, and that Kyoji's helping them. I guess they know him as Schwartz, they don't know that he's Kyoji. And then Rain and Rising Gundam comes, and they have that great plan. And even Miss Marie Louise, with her slight frame, is able to help out. And again, it's another cool thing. She's the smallest of the bunch, so she volunteers to go through the little opening that that Rain Schwartz or Kyoji were able to make. And then she gets a grenade, and she throws that. She lobs that thing at one of the posts in order to break it and destroy the barrier so that they can get in and help. And it's cool because it feels like another little parallel to George and Chibity, or the, you know, French and the Americans, destroying this great, this thing that's so much greater than them with, you know, help from some allies. So, pretty cool. I mean, it was kind of basic, but and it's just a continuation of the last episode. These things have to unfold. They have to happen in order for us to progress, and we're slowly moving towards Domoon fighting Master Asia, and then I'm assuming the Dark Gundam. And it's not that it's enjoyable. Obviously, I went over all these things that were really cool about it, but it's just kind of funny because it's a little bit paint by numbers, because, you know, there's just certain things that have to happen in the story, and there's certain, you know, logistical things that need to be moved through in order to progress. But I'm enjoying the ride. Well, you already heard how much I enjoyed it, so I'll go ahead and stop. And have any questions? I don't have any questions for you. Catch me on the next one. And that's all I have to say. Remember, folks, go out there and grasp happiness. MJMunoz.com is home for all my work. Podcasts and reviews of anime, tokusatsu, Star Wars, and more. Plus my original writings. If you didn't enjoy this, critique me. If you did, leave me a comment. If you really like this, consider tipping me at coffee.com/MJMunoz. Thank you so much for your time and attention. Until next time, be well.